we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Yeah, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And in case you're just tuning in, we have, a major announcement here, two major announcements, technically. Number one, President Trump has up until now been the presumptive nominee to the Republican Party for president. But officially, he just crossed the threshold of electors. So as we speak right now, the opening ceremonies of the Republican National Convention are underway. That starts off with the official roll call of states. Each state then, in responding to the roll call, gives their electors to the nominee of choice for the state, and they are required to have 1,215 electors to win. Trump has now surpassed that; he's at 1,595 and counting. We expect him to have pretty much all of them. Not a problem there. The states and territories are all currently, the Marianas Islands has contributed their electors to Trump. It's quite the hoopla going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin right now. The other big announcement, aside from the fact that Trump is now the official nominee, is that he has also just announced his running mate is officially Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. So, I'll go ahead and just take the hit on that one. I said last week that he was, to me, the least likely of the candidates in the top five. I like J.D. Vance. I just saw him as needing more time under his belt. Trump has had a chance to assess him in great detail and decided he's the man. So it is now going to be Trump Vance for 2024, and we'll watch that play out. In the meantime, the convention is ongoing. Later in the show, we'll have State Representative Matt Butler calling in, probably from the floor of the convention. It's been quite the hoot to watch, and I actually saw Alabama on TV a little while ago. All right, let's do this. I've got a ton of text messages already. Golly, bum. I don't want to just forego these. Let me scroll down and see if I can just grab a few. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I'm all buckled in for today's show. You better be buckled in. You're driving, brother. But anyway, glad of it. Jeremy from Madison sent me a meme. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. It has the image of Trump raising his hand over the background of a flag. Very cool. Steve from Tennessee, there's a photo from Iraq where a U.S. Marine Corps E-9 raises his bloody hand to flip the bird to the dead Iraqis that had just wounded him. And there goes Trump, wounded and clearly still in the fight. Yeah, there's also a great one from Iraq, too. And you may be thinking of the same one. I don't recall him flipping people off, but there's one where he's being carried out of the house where he had been in a running gun battle room to room, and he still got his pistol in his hand and bleeding from like seven wounds. That was in Fallujah, I believe. Allie from Athens says, you nailed it, Colonel Williams. I wonder if we need to make up a new word, and that is emeritus. I'm saying I coined it this morning. Allie, that's it. It's emeritus. I say go for it. John from Huntsville, Phil, fantastic monologue. And that picture of Trump with his fist in the air and blood running down his face shows that he can once again be a strong leader. He'll always be a fighter for the country. He says, also, did you hear the classified document case against Trump? Thank you, John. I've had so much news. I meant to say that. John, square me up here. Did you hear the classified document case against Trump was dismissed today? Yes, I did. And yes, it was. And that was the most dangerous of all of the true indictments that he had. And that was dismissed this morning. So if you've not heard, the classified documents case was dismissed, and not only dismissed, but the judge threw into question whether or not Special Prosecutor Jack Smith should have ever been appointed in the first place. That's epic. That's more than a win. That's a backhand. TL from Huntsville. Phil, I thought very thought-provoking monologue. Serious condition of tragedy and a dire need for leadership. Calvin Coolidge once said, quote, heroism is not only in the man, but in the occasion. We saw both displayed this past Saturday. God bless our everyday American heroes and prayers for safety over Trump and his family. Good stuff, TL. I've gotten to be very fond of Calvin Coolidge. I've learned more about him of recent years. That guy was a conservative to no end. JT Lacey Springs Seems this will basically be a one-dipper day in Right Side Radio history, possibly a one-dipper week. Stand by, brother. John from Harvestville loved the monologue in 2016. I was only a lukewarm supporter of Trump, but now, especially after what I saw in Pennsylvania, I'd crawl over broken glass to vote for him. Say a prayer of thanks that he was spared. John and Harvest. Jenny from Decatur sent me an image of a guardian angel standing over Trump as he speaks. I get it, and I agree. Lord, I mean, that's just, wow. Randy from Madison says, prior to Saturday, although I voted twice for Trump, I was never a big fan. After Saturday, I'm all in. Randy, I think you're joined by a lot of people that way. And then Cousin Crystal from Moulton, we just call her Cousin Crystal, says, you think the VP pick got changed after Saturday? I don't know. I don't know, Crystal. But by the way, Crystal is the one who alerted me to the news that was breaking on Saturday. I got a text from her that said, Fox News now. That's all it said. And I had to dial in real quick. All right, listen, let me jump on in here. My Twitter feed's blowing up. I can see a lot of folks are actually dialoguing between themselves attached to some of my tweets. Go to @sen, that's S-E-N, Phil Williams, or you can go to Right Side Media, both of which are on social on Twitter and Instagram. Counter-Sniper Ops. Let's talk about the shooting on Saturday. There's an untold amount of questions that still have to be answered. It's legit. I mean, there's an investigation that needs to be transparent. And I say that, listen, what we do not want to see again is another one of the things like this Covenant school shooter, and they hide the manifesto and won't let us know, and they don't want to talk about the fact that it was a transgender and yada, yada, yada. Listen, the American public will not sit idly by and wait for someone to decide whether they're allowed to hear things. And I would encourage that as this investigation goes on, and it needs to, this investigation goes on, that it needs to be resolved as quickly as possible, and we need to have progress reports that tell us what's what. Tell us the who, the what, the why, the when, the where, all of it. Not only that, there needs to be an investigation not just into the shooter, who right now, for all practical purposes, is a 20-year-old nebbish who didn't have any real connections to politics for the most part, who had no social media whatsoever. So let me get this straight. We have a guy who's 20 years old with no military experience, no real gun experience that we're aware of, who somehow got onto a rooftop within 150 yards of the president of the United States, or at least the presumptive nominee who was a former president, with clear line of sight of the target, after Secret Service and local police had done all their work to vet the area and secure the site. And he gets up on top of a roof, a white roof at that, low crawls into position, has a chance to acquire his target and fire off multiple rounds before he's taken out by counter sniper. Seems a little shady. But here's the other thing I want to know. Not only did it happen, and do we want to know more about him? I want to know how this was missed. The whole world wants to know how this was missed. Because the Secret Service are the world's experts at safeguarding a VIP. There is nobody better at safeguarding a VIP than the United States Secret Service. That being said, somebody's head needs to roll, and it needs to start with the top down. Right now, the head of the Secret Service came to us without having any Secret Service experience. She was the head of security for Pepsi Cola, is what I heard. And I hope that's not correct. Is she a DEI hire? I don't know. I'm trying not to be too inflammatory, but what I do know is this. She does not appear to be having a complete grasp of her job. And have you heard from her yet? Nope. Don't you think it would be appropriate for the head of the Secret Service to issue a statement? Yep. I have seen so far on social media that her spokesperson has issued a few statements, but that there's been nothing directly attributed to the director. Anyway, what we know right now, though, is counter-sniper ops allowed a shooter into a spot where he had the vantage point for the shot. A shooter, by the way, who does not appear to have any real skills. Nothing, I mean, I mean, snipers can have what you refer to as a snapshot. The not much time to go, so you have to take the snapshot. You don't have time to truly nestle in and assume the good fighting position. You have to get that shot off to try and, at the very least, distract the sniper in a counter-sniper operation. But counter-sniper operations do not, and by the way, I'm not going to portray myself as a sniper. I'm not. I'm an Army Ranger. I've had plenty of opportunities to help set up overwatch positions and to plan accordingly and to do advanced planning on military operations, but I'm not a sniper. But I know enough to have a conversation, and I'm pretty sure my neighbor's house cat could see that rooftop where that kid was sitting as being one of the number one spots that needs to be scanned and vetted. Now, that being said, this kid got on that roof. The Secret Service has access to drones. They have advanced capabilities to do advanced party assessments. They have the ability to basically cordon off certain areas. Listen, I remember years ago, I'm talking, this is like 35 years ago, living in Mobile, Alabama, and I believe it was the first Bush, President Bush, was coming through, and it was he had some event in Mobile. I don't remember what the situation was, but Air Force One was flying in and out of the Mobile Airport. Mobile Airport's pretty much shut down. The major routes going straight down what we refer to as Airport Drive or Airport Road in Airport Boulevard. I'm sorry, in Mobile. They actually would go along and they'd weld the manhole cover shut so that no one could pop up from a manhole cover and do damage. They would scan for bombs along the routes. And that's just a route survey. This is a fixed installation with permanent fixtures. And everything about that screams, what's on top of that building? I'll give you this for the break. Many of y'all have probably seen the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg. It's based off of a movie by a book by the same name. Bob Lee Swagger is the character he plays. A military sniper with incredible skills. Remember the movie Shooter, the very first movie? He was hired for a purpose. Turns out it was the bad guys who hired him, but he was still hired for a purpose. What was his purpose? Was he hired to be the shooter? No. He was hired to be the counter-sniper assessment. They hired him to go in and say, how would you do it if you were the shooter? Where would you sit? What are the danger points? And so he actually went and assessed every aspect of the venue where the president in the movie was going to be speaking. Y'all, that's part of counter-sniper operations, is the advanced planning that goes into making sure that you have all aspects covered, that all vantage points for a potential sniper are covered. And I almost hesitate to call this kid a sniper, because that denotes some level of training and skill. That's not him. And yet, at 150 yards, he almost succeeded with a headshot on a site where there should have been no access. Clear line of sight. Look at the overheads. I've looked at the overheads of this particular area. One of the only places with a high vantage point and clear line of sight of where the president was standing is where he was. What does that tell you? Any counter sniper planning and assessment should have caught that. And they did. And somehow he still got a shot off. Let's take a break right now, brother. We'll do that. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. We're in number one, counter-sniper ops. If all things go as planned, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, will be on with us in about 15 minutes to talk through his thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Brandy from Owens Crossroads has texted in, says, my 12-year-old son is a big fan. Says today will be a single dipper. He predicted it within hours after the shooting. Well, he knows this show pretty well, but here's the deal. You tell your son, by the way, he's a ruffian, and I appreciate him, but I have chosen to take this single dipper and to carve it up into three slices. How about that? The first section is counter-sniper ops. The second is going to be rhetoric without responsibility. And the third is going to be the actual Republican National Convention. So there. How about that? Steve from Harvest says, I wonder if the Trump-hating, Scooby-Doo voting person will call in today. Yeah, I'm thinking probably not. By the way, don't anybody call in to the show today and try to incite some uprising or we need to go and, you know, take action. And like I'm for taking action, but I don't want to hear anybody talking about, well, they shot our guy, we need to shoot their guy. None of that. Don't do it on my show. I'll call you down in a heartbeat. Brian from Bluntsville sends me a meme, says, unconfirmed reports indicate the sniper had the assassin in his sights for at least 3 minutes. Well, I think that's a very unconfirmed report. I'm not sure where that comes from. And in fact, the guy who said that, Douglas McGregor, is not somebody whose commentary I usually enjoy. Real quick, and then I'll go to the phones. Wendell from Baton Rouge, Director Kimberly Cheadle, that's her name, yes, of the Secret Service. Had 27 years of Secret Service before going to PepsiCo. Okay, well, if that's the case, then I stand corrected. Worked as a head of Vice President Biden's security team is what I read. I guess she was the best they could get for director. Wendell, thank you, brother. I will check that out. I have not done a deep dive into her yet, but I would hope that is the case and that she actually has more experience than what I had been led to believe. Let me go to the phones. I forgot. I'm sorry. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, I might be advertising on Right Side Radio before long.
How so?
I'm going to start the Better Than Secret Service Protection Agency. I believe with no skills and no training, I can do a better job than what they have.
There's a band that I like. Their name is called Better Than Ezra. And I was told that the reason why their name is that is because they were going to go play in a Battle of the Bands competition. And somebody said, well, you got to have a name. They went, and then the band before them was called Ezra. They said, well, our name's Better Than Ezra. And so that was their name from then on. So
true story.
So you're the Better Than Secret Service Protection Detail, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if I can't do no better job than that, then, you know, I'd give it up.
Well, let me know if you want Attorney Williams to draft the LLC documents for you.
Well, I might need that. That's true. I don't want to get anybody. Well, I hopefully somebody would sue me if I do a worse job than what they did.
Oh, my gosh. It's something else, man. Where were you when you heard? Most folks can remember where they were when they first heard. Where were you?
I was working on the Jeep in the driveway.
There you go. That's right. I think you actually sent me pictures of it. You put some new lights on that bad boy.
Yeah, like I say, I got enough lights on there now. The newly passed people will probably start coming to me for going to the light, maybe.
No kidding. Well, what do you think about J.D. Vance being the vice presidential nominee?
I love it because he's the one guy that's like Trump who can take over and do what Trump has started after Trump's 4 years.
That's what I see here. I think Trump, you know, all these things about, well, maybe he's going to get Nikki Haley. I was like, oh, please, God, don't let him do that. I mean, don't come to the center. Stay out there in conservative land. So I was waiting to see who he was going to pick, and I was okay with Rubio, but I was really okay with Tim Scott. And then I thought J.D. Vance was just too far down the line because of experience, but here we are. All right, brother. Hey, the music is playing. I got to go. You be safe on the road.
Have a good one, buddy.
See you, man.
Thank you, guy.
All right, you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back with former Navy SEAL, CEO of the Shooting Institute, Jared Hudson. He'll be on with us momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this day. Listen, the news is breaking faster than we can hardly keep up. But you guys stay tuned, and as things go, we'll let you know. Right now, just do know this, that he is no longer the presumptive nominee. President Donald Trump, who was shot at a rally this past weekend, is on his feet at the convention. He has officially received the nomination with more than enough electors to move forward. And he's also selected Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio as his vice presidential pick. It's going to be a live wire day and more to come. Hey, coming up right now on the show is somebody who's been on with us several times. But in the wake of the shooting, I thought, you know what? If I'm going to talk about counter sniper operations and I'm not a sniper, I may have some experience putting together, you know, Overwatch for missions and mission planning and that kind of thing. But I'm pretty sure my neighbor's house cat could play in some things compared to what we saw this past weekend. But Jared Hudson is a former Navy SEAL who is also had a career in law enforcement. He owns and runs the company called the Shooting Institute, which specializes in training law enforcement, military personnel, and civilians in firearm skills and self-defense. He's got his MBA from Liberty University. He's also, by the way, runs an organization called the Covenant Rescue Group, which specializes in rescues from human trafficking. So without further ado, he has taken a break from training some folks afar and is going to give us his perspective. Jared Hudson, how you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? Doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, I know that you are wired tight right now, and you are taking a break from a training event to talk to us, so thank you for that.
Yeah, man, no worries. We're out here doing the normal thing for some East Coast SEAL teams. We do a lot of firearms training for them, so we're out here doing a week of firearms at CQB with those guys. And cut away from the range for a little bit. The guys are running it, so if you hear them in the background or if I have to cut away real quick, I apologize, but we should be good here for a few minutes.
No worries. Hey, listen, I know that you're fully aware of what happened this past weekend. You and I texted back and forth a bit. But your thought, I mean, you know, in the military, you and I are both very accustomed to things like doing an after-action review or a hot wash on something, trying to find the highs and lows of it. What are your thoughts on how things went down Saturday?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, the first thing is, and my first thought is, you know, it's easy to armchair quarterback a gunfight when you weren't there, you know. And that's what, you know, you see the media do it all the time. That's kind of what the media is known for. You know, of course, they have hindsight being 2020, and they put out what they think. And we all do that as people, you know, all of us do that. I do that. And so I just encourage people, the one, hindsight's 2020. We definitely know the guy had a gun now because, well, he shot at the president. At the same time, we don't necessarily know what the guys on the ground were experiencing at that time. I have a couple buddies that were there that are snipers in some of those positions and that work on the CAT team in different areas within Secret Service or other joint terror task forces. And I've talked with some of the guys that were there, and you know, they kind of gave me a rundown that, you know, it's similar to what we know, but it also sounds more real world. Does that make sense? So there's just kind of a, it's like Proverbs 19:2, zeal without knowledge causes you to miss the mark. There's a lot of zealous people putting out a lot of stuff, but they don't have real knowledge on how it actually went down. Does that make sense?
It does. So what are you hearing? I mean, what's their perspective? What was it like, for that matter, in terms of the time on the ground? And what are their thoughts on how the kid got up on top of that rooftop with line of sight?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, they spent, from my understanding, talking to the guy, they spent about an hour looking for the dude, and you know, they had eyes on him for a little while. They never saw him with a gun. At least the guys that I know never saw him with a gun. They saw him with a rangefinder at one point in time, possibly. And they put that out on comms. And so they had uniformed police going around that area looking for that young man. And they never could find him. And as they were looking for him, they get eyes on, they go somewhere, and they would lose him. And he said, you know, on the sniper side, of course, where their hide sites were, he said the mirage was bad. It was 100 degrees. It was 50% humidity. He said the mirage and the scope, you couldn't see a lot that was going on. It looked like a little bird bouncing around on the roof in one area. He said, so when they finally realized in some of the positions what they were looking at, you know, as they could see moving, they said, oh, okay, that's the guy. And so, you know, obviously they engaged him when they did. I think the biggest thing that I don't believe is true, I don't know all the guys that were on the op, but I know some of them, and they were like, hey, man, there was never anything going out. Like, don't shoot this guy. And besides, it doesn't work that way. As a sniper from Special Operations Command, as a guy who's a law enforcement officer, both state and federal, I can go ahead and tell you that we work under compromised authority. So we have the authority to do something when we see a compromise. I mean, basically what's being put out, that's like somebody saying, I couldn't shoot the active shooter in a school because my lieutenant told me not to. That just doesn't happen, right?
Right.
It just, some of the stuff we've heard and how it's put out, I'm not saying that there isn't any mild truth to any of those things, but it's not how these things generally work. It's not how the job is. You know, those snipers are in that position for a reason. When I was a sniper, nobody questioned what I did because I was going to have to be the one to articulate why I did or didn't shoot something or somebody. Does that make sense?
It does. And as a sniper, you're trained in counter sniper ops too, right? You know the key points. You recognize everything in advance. You kind of have your eyes on the key line of sight opportunities for a shooter to be sitting up in. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, so I did quite a few counter sniper ops. You know, I actually shot one sniper who was looking for us on one deployment, killed him, and then there was another sniper, he was a Chechen guy. He almost killed me. He shot from about 1,200 meters and it hit about 12 inches above my head on a rock. I think I showed you the picture of it one time. He's sitting by that rock. I can't remember, but my buddy Chris down in the town, he actually killed that dude that shot at me. So, done a lot of counter sniper work, and it's difficult, man, because it's very difficult when you're looking at a bunch of people who all could be threats, but are all probably not threats. Does that make sense? I mean, you got to think, when was the last time this happened? Reagan? So this is not something that happens every day. Generally speaking, these folks are not really threats, and then there's just somebody who happened to be a threat. So, I would say that the counter sniper piece, it's a difficult thing to work. But these dudes, when they picked him up, I think within less than 20 seconds, he was killed. When they actually picked, this guy's shooting at us, they engaged him relatively quickly, which that's pretty hard to do as well. Pick out where somebody's shooting from and then shoot them.
What do we know about what the kid was shooting? I'm hearing he had some AR platform, but I don't know if it was scoped. I don't know if it was dialed in. What do you know?
I don't know, man. I haven't heard, nor have any of the guys I know gotten word. They said it was an AR-15. So 223 rifle. It sounded like 223 on camera.
Yeah.
All my buddies who were on the ground there said it sounded like 223, which is just a regular AR, 5.56 platform. The kid was wearing a Demolition Ranch shirt, which means he follows the 2A community, kind of those guys that, the YouTube gunners and all that. He at least had a Demolition Ranch shirt on. So, from what I could tell or from what I've been told. So if that's the case, then, he kind of follows this stuff. So he probably had some bit of education on it.
All right. So that being said, you're a certified firearms instructor. You've got your own skill set in the background from your time in the SEALs and everything else. This kid crawls up on a hot roof with an AR. We assume it's zeroed, and he gets off a headshot at 150 yards. What are your thoughts on the severity of that shot? I mean, what is hard shot, no shot?
I mean, it's not the hardest shot in the world, but also not the easiest shot in the world either, especially when you crank a round or two and then dudes are returning fire at you, So I think he got off six shots, if I remember right, and then he was finally killed. And I could be wrong, but from what I understand from guys on the ground, the snipers fired three, maybe four shots at him while he was on the roof. And, they might have hit him more than once. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's 150 yards. Not put it this way. If one of us were on the roof, Trump might not be there right now, I guess, if that makes sense. With that being said, the kid that climbed up there and shot, I mean, it's not like it's that easy either. It is a hot roof. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, he got pretty close. I'm just going to go ahead and say the sovereign grace of God protected Trump.
Absolutely.
That evening, whenever he got shot at. And here's the other thing. Nobody's talking about it. There were some other people that were shot, too. There was a guy who died on his wife and kids. We ain't even talking about that. This family just lost a husband, lost a father.
Former fire chief.
Died on a family. So here's the thing that makes me the maddest. All these clowns in, within the media, with CNN, Nancy Pelosi, these politicians, they call it, something's got to be done. Somebody's got to stand up against Trump. Somebody's got to do something. This is crazy. All the rhetoric they pushed, the bigger issue to me is not something nefarious happened on the ground. Oh, they're trying to kill Trump. Well, no flipping kidding they're trying to kill Trump. They've been trying to kill him with lawfare forever. I wouldn't be surprised if the system didn't all come together against him and try to kill him in that manner. But it's even deeper than that. It's not that they actually burned the house down. They just started the fire in the yard that ultimately burns the house down. Does that make sense? And that's kind of what I think we're seeing here. It's not that they put together some plan to go after President Trump. It's that they allow things through the DEI policies, through the people that are in positions of directors, like the Cheetah lady over Secret Service, all this stuff. It's these folks And the decisions they're making. Look at the Secret Service chicks that are out there, dude. There's so many memes making fun of these chicks. And here's the thing. It's a joke. It's DEI hires. Somebody sent me one that said, hey, this is the wage gap. And it showed the chick laying kind of hiding back and all these three dudes piled on the president. I'm sorry, y'all. This is flipping true. And nobody likes to hear it, but it's true. You need pipe hitters out there doing real work. And the problem is you ain't got pipe hitters out there doing real work. You've got DEI pushing for people who shouldn't be in a position to be in the position they are. And that's the reason things like this happen. And that's really what it boils down to.
That's good commentary. Hey, and listen, let me jump back real quick before we run out of time here. You say that the guys on the ground tell you that they had reason to believe this kid was running around and he was a problem. And so they were on the hunt for him long before the shots were fired. Is that what you're telling us?
Oh, yeah. Like an hour before the shots were fired, they were looking for him.
All right. So, well, I guess that covers that. I'm also hearing, by the way, that the building that he was on top of was actually, it was outside the perimeter. We know the main perimeter. We know that. But that he was climbing on top of a building that was supposed to be secured by local law enforcement, not Secret Service. Have you heard any of that?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I'm not going to name the agency, but I know the agency was supposed to be secured by. And they had the larger building secured. They're actually the ones that took a picture of the kid initially, you know, around the building. But I will say, you know, again, unless I sit in that spot they were in, I don't know. They might not have been able to see this kid from that spot. He's crawling across the corrugated tin roof from what it looked like and from everything we could tell. You know, he might have just been hidden that well. Then again, you could have some law enforcement agents goofing off on TikTok on their phone or whatever, not paying attention, and he, you know, slipped by him. Who knows?
Well, one report says that law enforcement saw him on the roof, climbed up, and he pointed his rifle at him, and then the officer backed off real quick in fear.
Yeah, so I'll say I heard that too from, again, I got buddies that were actually there working that actually took shots at this dude, and I'll be honest with you. From what they say, that doesn't make sense because after the dude was dead, they had to carry a ladder over to get on the roof. Kid climbed a gutter or something. They had to carry a ladder over to get on the roof just to get to the body. So that doesn't make sense to me if some random cop was able to climb it, saw the guy with a gun, and back down. That just that doesn't make sense based on, again, what dudes on the ground who are actually running the operation say.
Good enough. Well, listen, man, you got a full day ahead of you. You got other things to do, but I appreciate you making time for us today.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Holler if you need anything. Y'all have a good one.
All right, we'll take care. That is Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, also the CEO of an organization called the Shooting Institute that specializes in training special operations and law enforcement in shooting skills. Former SEAL sniper himself, and that was good perspective. That was good stuff. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. Y'all stay tuned. We got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Let me not waste time because we don't have much of it for this segment. I'll go right to the phones. That's Wolverine Dan. Hey, brother, how you doing? Did we lose him? Wolverine Dan, you there? There you are.
Yeah, I'm here. It's a very emotional roller coaster this weekend. You know, I'm going to be a parallel here. In NASCAR, these days they have pit crews that are probably gentlemen that are at least 6'5" or over 6', athletic built, strong, fast. And that's just for NASCAR, for crying out loud. Now, we're trying to protect these elected officials. Now, we're trying to protect our president. And, you know, let's say that when I saw what I saw was after the shot passed his ear, they jumped on him. They did the correct thing by keeping him safe. But when they brought him up, and I'm not disrespecting the woman that was in the front doing a bear hug. She was so much shorter than President Trump. If there was another gunman on the other side facing President Trump, he had a perfect line to shoot the president with a lethal shot. And then the other girl that couldn't handle her hand or gun in her holster when she was by the vehicle. Now, you know, look at it. Let's stop this right now, okay? When you're talking life and death, for crying out loud, you need to get the security guard that is taller than our president, which president's 6'4". So you need big security guards. You need fast, athletic human beings that could just jump in there and stop everything and stop a bullet. She couldn't stop a bullet above her head because she was too short. So I'm not sure why they're hiring this situation with some of the women. And there are women out there that are tall and athletic. So I'm not just downing women. I'm just saying, Phil, come on. You saw what I saw. That president was wide open for a shot. And if it was a taller person, it would have hit President Trump, and he would be better protected. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I look back on things like at the border between North and South Korea. For years, it has been that we only put an American guard there who meets certain physical standards because the design is to impose itself upon the North Koreans because we're bigger than they are, typically speaking. And to have somebody there who's 6'2" and muscular lends the image that that's America.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do that here. But it's okay to have what they call a bona fide occupational qualification, which means someone is got certain skill sets they have to have, physical. Hey, brother, we're out of time. The music's playing,
man. Thank God he's safe. Thank God he's safe.
I agree. See you, brother. Coming up next, we've got Congressman Barry Moore coming on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.